We don't have much time for the first meeting, but we don't need that much time. I think if we all truly love the Lord, then what else can we say, right? Amen, George? Yeah, praise the Lord. Now this morning, let's come to the outline. Yeah, let's come to the outline. Let me ask you one very simple question. How do you express your love for the Lord? Am I speaking loud enough? Yeah? Okay. Hello? Can you hear me? Okay. Okay. How do you express your love to the Lord? Everything okay?
Yes.
Tell me, how do you express your love to the Lord? Come on.
Doing what he says.
Well, how do you know what he's saying?
Through the word.
Through the word. And if you love someone, have you been in love before? Oh, yes, of course. Your dear wife sitting somewhere here in the meeting. So, what do? Before you got married, you love your sweetheart. You call her every day, right? You like to talk to her every day, isn't it? You like to communicate with her. Am I right? I see. Well, if you truly love the Lord, you will love his word. Because the very word in the Bible is his expression, his speaking to you. The word. Even though she lived far away and you're in Stuttgart, well, you communicate. Speaking is very important. The word of God is very important. Anyone who loves the Lord, definitely, you will love his word. Because without his word, how are you going to know her? How are you going to know him? Show me another way, the best way. Of course, there are many ways you might know him. If you take a look at a beautiful nature, the nature tells you about God. Wonderful creator. Now, this time, being in Chuncheon, in Korea, it's beautiful. But it's not just enjoying the beauty of the nature. Perhaps you don't realize that nature speaks to you. Psalm 19 says the creation of God speaks, not with words, but with expression. The sun, the moon, and the stars, and all of his wonderful creation tells you what kind of a God we have. That's why we give thanks to God for whatever you're enjoying. You enjoy lechon in the Philippines. You enjoy bangus, right? You enjoy all the wonderful fruits. This morning at the table, you're enjoying lanzones. What do you call the other one? Rakutan? Rabutan. Who created those things? God. Without him, where are you going to get your rambutan? Where are you going to get your mangoes? What about your so many kinds of bananas? You think God created bananas just for the monkeys? Of course, also, right? But all of these things speaks about God, how much God loves you, right? No other creatures on this earth can enjoy such wonderful food. I've never seen any of this wonderful creation of God, the animals, the donkeys, the turkeys, the monkeys, the whatever keys, open a wonderful restaurant. Right? Gigi, right? A wonderful restaurant. Have you ever seen a monkey hotel? No. No. Only human beings could do it. Because we are created in God's image, in God's likeness. That's why you're so smart. You know why you're so smart? Don't think because you're smart. Because that's the way God created you. So don't be proud if you're smart. Just give thanks to God. Because He's a wonderful creator. You go to Psalm 19, the whole creation is speaking, not with language, but the way they are. They really show forth the glory of God, the power of God. That's why in the Bible, God could use anything to represent Him. He is a light. Without Him, there is no light. He said, I am the light of the world. And the Bible said in the book of Revelation, He's the morning star. He's the bright and shining star. Even John 15, he says, I'm the true vine. I'm the true vine. He's even the Lamb of God. And he said, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. He's everything. But most of all, although all of these wonderful things reveal the glory of God, let me tell you, He's speaking to you, the Word of God is the most direct and wonderful personal way that God reveals Himself to you. Right. So if I never spoke to Brother Pancho, then I will never know you, right? And you will never know me. But it's not just looking at you that I know you, it's when I hear you speak. Because your speaking is your expression. That's what the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you just keep it in your heart, I wouldn't know what you are thinking. Right? So the word is the very expression of God. No wonder in the Gospel of John it says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So if you really love the Lord, you're seeking after the Lord, you have to come to His Word. Without His Word, you will not know God. Our God is a speaking God. Wonderful. Even all of His creation came into being through His Word. Let's go to John chapter 1. Yeah. The Gospel of John. I love John, not because it's my name, okay? But praise the Lord for John. John chapter 1. John always brought us back to the beginning. Because he's the source of everything. So this wonderful disciple and apostle of the Lord He brought us back to the beginning. In the beginning was God. God is the beginning of everything. Without him, there won't be any of us here. There won't even be this universe created. In the beginning was the Word. Wow, wonderful. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Our God is a speaking God. So if you love God, you would definitely love the Word. I don't know of anyone who really loves the Lord and he doesn't care for the Bible, doesn't care for the Word of God. Right. So, he, the Word, and this is talking about Christ. Don't think Christ just came 2,000 years ago. No, he was God in the very beginning. And he was the Word of God. This is why in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, his word was called what? His name was called the Word of God. What is your name, Karina? Karina is your name. So if somebody calls Karina, who's going to respond? You, unless there's somebody else called Karina. What is the name of the Lord Jesus? Just Jesus? Wie heißt der? Das Wort Gottes. What does it mean? His name is the Word of God. You just know Jesus, the one who died on the cross.
Hello.
His name is the Word of God. The whole Bible is his name. So if you don't know him, I should say, if you want to know more of him, you come to the Word of God. So, yep, up. Let me go back to the Gospel of John. Every time I touch this book, it changes. I mean, this one. He, the Word, was in the beginning with God. Then it says, all things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. How long does it take for you to make something? A long time, right? But for God, it is very easy. He just spoke it. And there it was. He said, let there be light. And there was light. Just like that. How powerful is this word? But people turn his word into theology and trying to study God. Can you study God? Okay, let's say not about studying God. What about you study Pancho? How are you going to study Pancho? By books? No? Is there any book about Pancho? No. Even if there is. Oh, in the Philippines, you have the book about Jose Rizal, right? The national hero of the Philippines, Jose Rizal. Do you know him? Oh, you just read a book and you will know him. I tell you, even if you memorize the whole book, you still don't know him. Because he's a living person. God, how can you study God, study theology? Goodness, the more you study, the more you will misunderstand him, because even your mind is not good enough to know him through the Bible, the Word. See, so many books about him. But you cannot know him through studying the book. You know him through your relationship with him. Because he's the living God. It's not how much you know the Bible, how much you know him, but then this word of God is not theology. It is the Lord speaking to you. If you read the word of God and he doesn't speak to you, then his word is not living. It's called the word of life. All things were made through the word. Without him, nothing was made that was made. Then in him was life. And this is a very crucial thing. Life is something alive and living. People like to study and think they know everything, but they cannot create life. After 2,000 years of human history, they can make airplanes, but the airplane is not full of life. Look at the birds. Do they need to fill up? They're so beautiful because it's living. It's wonderful. You cannot even describe it. And God made so many different kinds of beautiful birds. Even the bird of paradise. Have you seen a bird of paradise? Beautiful birds. And alive. Even some birds can even speak. It's called papagai, right? Parrots. Of course, you can say, well, my computer speaks to me. But that's not life. But in the Word of God is the very life of God itself. In him was life. When I come to the Word of God, I want his life. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. If you don't have life, you don't have light. If somebody died, lights out. Right? No more light. To have the light, you have to have the life. Yeah, this morning we are all in the light. Why? Because you're alive, right? If you're alive, you can see so many things. Because this life becomes your light, you can see a lot of things. But try to show a dead person anything. Can you do that? If somebody's dead, you try to show him something. Go to the cemetery and show the dead. No more light, light out. In him was life. And this is not a human life. This is the divine life, the life of God. It's called the eternal life. Your human life, how long can you live on this earth? Depends, right? Nobody can say how long. How long are you going to live? Nobody knows. But if you're born again, you receive the eternal life in you. It's a wonderful life. It's called eternal life. That does not only means eternally, you're going to live eternally, but only God is eternal. You have the life of God. If you're not born again, you only have human life. Well, of course, it's better than the life of a monkey. Human life is already wonderful. But can you imagine having the eternal life of God? It's even more wonderful. So in him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the life shines in the darkness. And the darkness cannot overcome it. Not just comprehend it, but cannot overcome the light. Once you turn on the light, darkness is gone. Immediately. The moment you turn on the light, darkness is gone. But he's not just talking about the natural darkness. There is a darkness that is worse than the natural darkness. It is the darkness by somebody called Satan. He's a deceiver of the whole world. If you're deceived by Satan, you're in darkness. You don't know the truth. You just believe the lies. That's why Satan is called in John chapter 8, the father of lies and a murderer from the very beginning. He's called a prince of darkness. It's a different kind of darkness. You think you know, but actually you don't. If you don't know God, you don't know anything. You don't know the very source of this wonderful universe. Right. So I hope that all of us will not only believe in God, but to know God. It's one thing to believe, and it's good, better than not believing. A lot of people say, no, there is no God. Where do you come from? From the monkeys. Goodness sake. Then if I say, no wonder you look like one, then he gets mad. Well, you just said your great-great-great-grandfather is a monkey, so I'm just complimenting you. You look like him. Then you got so mad. Oh, don't say I look like a monkey. Oh, why not? You came from him. Goodness. No argument. No need to argue. Just say, oh yeah, okay, you look like one. That will solve all the problems and all the arguments. No, people are in darkness. That's why they think that way. And they call themselves scientists. The science of evolution. Goodness, that's darkness. That darkness is worse than when it's nighttime and you turn off all the lights. At least you go to sleep. But this darkness is, you just do not understand. You may see so many things in this world, but if you don't know God, you're in darkness. You're being deceived. Satan is called in Revelation chapter 12, the deceiver of the whole world. He's a deceiver. He's the father of lies from the very beginning. In the Garden of Eden, when God created man, immediately the serpent came in and lied to Adam and Eve. And darkness came in. So, when the Lord Jesus Christ came, in him was life. He's the true life, the life of God. And this life was a light of man. So if you don't know the Lord Jesus, or you just believe him and that's all, you're still in darkness. You're still in darkness. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it, did not receive. This kind of a darkness is terrible. At least if you turn on the light, you can see this. Right now we're in the light, but this is not a true light. But the Lord Jesus is the true light. Right. So, verse 7 says, this man, John the Baptist, came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him, through John the Baptist and his witness, might believe. He, John the Baptist, was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And in verse 9, that was a true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. But unfortunately, He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Why? Because the whole world is in that kind of a darkness. Don't think you're not in darkness. We're not talking about a physical darkness. Right. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. In darkness. He came to his own, to the Jews, his chosen people in the Old Testament days. And his own did not receive him. They even crucified him, got rid of him. Isn't that darkness? So we are not talking about darkness in a human sense. Right. So are you alive or are you dead? How? You're alive. Please read to me Ephesians chapter 2. Read it loudly. Stand up so that everybody can see you. You're so tall. That's good. Everybody can see you. Great. Yeah. Good. Oh, yeah. Good. Verse even one. Have a lot. Yeah, verse 1.
And you he made alive.
Oh, what?
And you he made alive.
Aren't you already alive?
Yes.
How come he needs to make you alive who is already alive? Tell me. Isn't that a mystery? Okay.
Who were dead?
What?
Who were dead?
Are you dead or are you alive? Okay. What kind of death is that?
Who were dead in trespasses and sins.
Oh. Dead in trespasses and sin. Continue.
In which you once walked according to the course of this world.
The course of this world. Continue.
According to the prince of the power of the air.
Who is that?
Satan.
Satan, that's the devil. So those people in the world were dead in sin and trespasses, walking according to the course of this world. This darkness, the power of darkness, is misleading you. Which course of this world is going to lead you to where? Okay, please continue.
The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience.
In the sons of disobedience. Rebellious. You talk to them about God, there's no God. Okay, continue.
Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind.
Right.
And were by nature children of
wrath. Children of wrath. Go ahead.
Just as the others.
Right.
But wrath. God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive. Together with Christ.
Thank you. That's good enough. Did you realize you were dead before? You may be offended, right? Have you ever preached the gospel to people and says, you're dead, you need life? You think you dare to speak the gospel in such a way? Sure, wow, there's a German. Have you ever told people you're dead? If you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are dead in your sin and trespasses. This is the warning of God right in the very beginning, right? If you partake of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. But nobody believes that. They're dead. But Hollywood shows you there's a living dead. Where did they get that idea? We were all dead in sin and trespasses, disobedient, rebellious, children of wrath. We are walking according to the course of this world. So if you want to understand and go to 1 John, you firstly need to know the Gospel of John. So we do need the living Word of God. So when you hear the Gospel, the Word of God, your eyes were opened, you were made alive. All of a sudden, you realize, forgive me, Lord, I'm a sinner. Cleanse me, save me. But unfortunately, even if you're born again, you still have the flesh. So many of the Christians today are still walking in darkness. So now let's go to 1 John. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 1. In 1 John, First Epistle of John, chapter 1. John said again, that which was from the beginning. It's always good to go back to the beginning, meaning to say to God himself, to the Word of God. Now, this is a different beginning than the beginning of the Gospel of John. In the beginning of the Gospel of John, it was in Genesis chapter 1, when God created all things. That's why he says, through the Word was created by God, the world. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. So that was in Genesis chapter 1. But this beginning is another beginning. The beginning when Jesus came to this world. To bring us another wonderful beginning. You may not have thought of that, right? But it's the beginning of the new covenant. Otherwise, John would not have said, which we have heard. No. John definitely didn't hear Genesis chapter 1. He wasn't there, right? How can he hear? But no, this is the beginning when the Lord Jesus Christ came. And he is also the Word. Now, listen what John says, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. Wonderful. Now, this Word all of a sudden becomes visible now. Not only you can hear, you can also see. But now with your physical eyes now, with John, it was a physical eyes because he was living at a time when Jesus was on this earth. But let's read further, which we have looked upon, meaning to say closely and carefully. Especially if you're like me, you need glasses. So if I try to see Marcus far away without my glasses, he looks like a tree there. You remember when Jesus Christ healed a blind man the first time? He says, what do you see? Oh, I see men like trees. So the Lord has to do it a second time, then he said, oh, now I can see Marcus quite clearly. Huh? Marcus, of course I can see Marcus now. So, the first time you come to the Word of God, you may not be very clear. You may not know what you're reading. So you need to learn to read carefully, prayerfully, with faith, mingled with faith. This is what Hebrews chapter 4 tells us. Don't just come and read the Bible and ask, what does it mean? Don't forget about what it means. You want to get life from the Lord. Yeah? And even more wonderful, John says, our hands have handled. Remember, John was the beloved apostle. And he was the one who was lying on the Lord's breast. So close his relationship with the Lord Jesus. Concerning Jesus Christ. Did it say concerning Jesus Christ? What does it say? Concerning? Oh, come on. You all have 1 John open. Benson, what does it say? Huh?
The word of life.
Concerning the word of life. But who was he talking about? Who was the word of life? Jesus. Why didn't he say concerning Jesus? Yeah, but would it be better to say concerning Jesus? I'm giving George a hard time. Yeah, but he was there physically, and John saw Jesus. He's writing to you. He's not only writing to you, he's their inward feeling. It is not how he looks like. That's why you don't have a photo of Jesus. Because it's not, he's like any other man. It's not his outward looks. In fact, in Isaiah, it was written, you can see no beauty in this man that would attract us. He was like a plant growing out of a dry ground. What would a plant look like if it's a dry ground? Beautiful plant? It would be going like that. There's no beauty in him that would attract us, it says. Huh? It's okay. Good. No beauty. But for us, we look at the outward, right? And the people at that time look at Jesus at the outward. This man, he's the Messiah. Come on. He's not a Messiah. He's from Nazareth. We know his parents. His father is a carpenter. How can he be the Messiah? We're waiting for the king. So if you're looking at the outward, you'll miss him. And they all missed him. This is why John wrote here concerning the word of life. It is not what it looks like, what occupation he has. He didn't even have a hospital where he was born. He was born in a manger where the horses were born. There was no beauty outwardly in him. So what are you looking for in Jesus? People like to make picture of Jesus. Please don't. How would you like me to show you a picture that is not you? A picture, something like that. And I show, this is Marcus. Would you be happy? No, but it is Marcus. We love Marcus. But the real Marcus looks very different. It's the Jesus in your imagination. He is not Jesus. He's the word of life. So get rid of all the Jesus picture in your house, okay? Don't have a strange picture there and says, this is Jesus. All the pictures that I saw in Johann's house was real person. Right? Would you be happy if Johann just put a picture of it? I don't know who, and says, this is my mom. How about that? Would you be happy, Gigi? You would say, that's not me, take it off. Right? Or would you be happy? At least your son remembers you. Happy memories. No. Why do you make a picture of somebody out of your imagination and say, that's Jesus? Jesus is God. Nobody has ever seen God. And when Jesus came to this world, he's not expressing God as a man, or, you know, the most handsome man on this earth. No. Isaiah said the exact opposite. There was no beauty in this man that we would desire him or being attracted to him. No, we are attracted to the Lord Jesus, not by our wonderful choir, beautiful cathedral, right? And a wonderful band, music. Oh, Jesus is so attractive. Look, this beautiful band. No. Are you attracted by Jesus through a beautiful cathedral? Definitely not. You know him inwardly by the word of life. That is how you know the Lord. Not by doctrine. Concerning the word of life. And this life was manifested. And we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. So that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Then he mentioned Jesus Christ. So in John chapter 6, when everybody left the Lord Jesus, because Jesus says, eat me, right? My flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. People didn't realize what he was talking about. Then the Lord explained to them, it is the words that I've spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life. It's not the meat. I take a bite of Jesus. How many bites can you take of this man? And there are about 10,000 people there. It's not even enough flesh for 10,000, for even 100 people to take a bite. He who eats me, even he shall live by me. The way to eat Jesus is by the word of life. And so everybody left, except those 12. The Lord was, I wouldn't say surprised, but saw them, only 12 left. If I were Jesus, and I'm not definitely, I would say, only 12 remain. What was Peter's answer? Lord, where shall we go? You are the Messiah. You're the King of the Jews. You're the Savior. No? Why not? The word of eternal life. This is the reality of Christ, the living word. not doctrines, not a message written by man, not an explanation of the Bible, not interpretation, not any of this, but spirit and life, the eternal life. People can give you a good message, but not eternal life. That life is only from him, from the spirit. The words of eternal life. And this is why John brought us back to the beginning, back to the living word of God. But people wrote books and tell you, you don't read my books, you will not understand the Bible. So you have to read my book. You tell me of any book that is better than the word of God. So John is bringing us back to the word of life, which is right here, to bring you into the fellowship with the Father and with the Son, with the living God. That means you need a word of life to fellowship with a living God. And this living word, the word of life, will bring you and usher you into the fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Go back to the beginning. This is why John was chosen by the Lord to read, to write the last epistles, the last gospel, the last of the epistles, and the last book, the book of Revelation, to bring us back to the tree of life. You may know so much, but if you don't have that eternal life, you become proud. You think everybody must listen to you. You think you have the authority, and you think I'm the apostle, and you think I'm this and that, but you're nothing. We are nothing. Can you make the dead man alive? Can you? No? How about you? So when somebody's dead, you come in, no? I'll make you alive, I'll give you life. Can you do that? Then you're not the eternal life. You can only give doctrines and teachings and a message, but you cannot ask Lazarus to come out of his grave. Can you? Have you ever seen that in Clarence? Somebody could raise the dead? No. But the Lord Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. There are many fake preachers. The Lord calls them false prophets and false teachers. Even though the apostles warned about those. So, come to the word to receive life, to receive this wonderful eternal life. Amen. Okay, I think we only have 5 more minutes. Okay, 5 minutes. Okay, I might as well make use of it. Now, what is the first message concerning this eternal life? It's a very short message. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. Wonderful. God is light. I don't know if you appreciate that or not. This is the light of life, according to John chapter 8. I am the light of life. If anyone does not follow me, he walks in darkness. He walks in darkness and he doesn't know where he's going. We took a walk somewhere in the evening, right? Took a walk. Were you there? We took a walk somewhere? Yeah. There were so many lights. Blinking in different colors, and you know, deep within me, I thought, these people are walking in darkness. But it's a beautiful light, but it's very deceiving. They think that is a true light, but it is not. Yeah, it looks very alive. It even looks living. Wow. Wow, I was standing there, I was really surprised, wow. But that was not a true light. Attractive, but not a true light. In a way, it's deceiving you. Looks very real, but it's not real. And it attracts so many people. But when the Lord comes, nobody comes to Him. So the first message of this wonderful word of life is, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, verse 6, we lie, and the truth is not in us. This is very powerful, straightforward, short, and to the point. God is light. Do you want to walk in darkness? It's amazing, right? If you walk in darkness, you just wouldn't know where to go. Especially if you go to a new place at night time, you want to just go maybe to the bathroom. You wouldn't know where the door is, what direction you're going, right? Have you ever experienced that? Oh yeah, you went to Mindanao, right? I don't know where you're staying, and at night, if you just want to get a glass of water somewhere, you're thirsty, you're walking like a blind man. You wouldn't know where to go. You didn't even know where the switch are, where the switches are located. I've experienced that many times because I went to many different homes. I was like a blind man, not knowing where anything is, in darkness. If you walk in darkness, the Lord says, you lie, and you said, I have fellowship with the Lord, but you lie. The truth is not in you. So let's just come back to the outline, and you can read it yourself. Right, we don't need to do it right now. Time is up. Coffee time. That's what it says, right? Coffee time. I didn't... Coffee break. You see, without the word, I wouldn't know it is coffee break. Just make sure you don't break the coffee machine there. Well, praise the Lord. May the Lord have mercy on all of us. Amen.